You're welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning if you've just joined us. Community Garda information is on the way. That poor mother, a Donegal TD, must stand up and quote a list of the risks of what will happen to these poor kids and ask the other TDs to close their eyes and visualise these awful, avoidable atrocities happening to their own kids. Now, open their eyes and ask them what they would do about it. This is an awful atrocity, sitting idly by and allowing the pain, suffering and uncertainty of life to happen to these kids and their carers. Let me see. Nurses need to be allowed to do more. Nurses should be able to do some of the things that doctors can do. Nurses need different grades and they can wear different uniforms. Nurses need to balance the workload. Ambulance men and women shouldn't have to wait by trolleys. Nurses should be allowed to take over. Let me see. I work in the hospital. We're being dragged through the mill. We're exhausted. We can't do any more. I dread going to work. I feel so disrespected. The young staff are leaving. So a lot of us are over 50 and I'm going to leave, they say. And lots of you commenting on social media as well. I will try and get to those. Someone pointing out, actually, there's one I did want to reference here because maybe my comments were misunderstood. Elaine said, Greg, the problem has been here for more than 15 years at least, so you can't blame an increase of 8,000. This has just made it worse, not the cause. No, of course it's not. And any regular listener to the show would know that we were have been covering this and Sean was covering this for years. Of course things were bad. And, you know, things aren't worse now because of the increased population. The point was I was making was is that you simply can't increase a population to that extent without providing extra services. That being said, what we are seeing unprecedented in the last while is the GPs and the consultants coming out and speaking publicly about the situation there. I know there have been problems with our health service, says a listener, for years, but the last couple of years are a nightmare. This is all stemming from overcrowding. We have taken in too many people in Donegal. The GPs can't cope with the extra patients, so they send them to the ED. It's disgraceful, but more important, it can be a matter of life and death for some people. Irish people deserve better, especially our elderly. They should be treated with respect and dignity. So sad listening to this lady, says another caller, talking about the elderly gentleman wanting to go home because of long delays in pain and discomfort, feeling he didn't care if he died. Now imagine if he was there alone and euthanasia was available. Yeah, it wouldn't work like that, but I do understand that and I've expressed the concerns and I would like to be reassured myself is that the way this country is set up, often older people are portrayed as a burden. I do not see it as that. And you just would hope that they wouldn't want to feel pressured to deburden society. And do we really ever want to be in that situation? Our GP sent my father to the ED last Monday. We arrived at 5:30 p.m. and sat until Tuesday afternoon at 1:30. The next day, until finally we left, as my father was exhausted, sore from sitting and hungry. He only got seen by the triage nurse and given 2 paracetamol. Then after we left, the ED rang me a few hours later looking for him and I explained I took him home because he was exhausted and she said, okay, no problem. I'll just mark on his notes, too tired to wait. It was absolutely carnage up there. I had never seen anything like it. There were people sitting on the floor inside the ED with a blanket round them hooked up to drips, patients in wheelchairs lined in the corridors who had been there for more than 24 hours. I really wanted to video this to show people that absolute madness, but obviously I couldn't as it isn't allowed. Just complete madness, they say. Keep in touch with us on those issues, 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts. We'll be back with Community Garda information with Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh after we take the break.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
Okay, 19 minutes past 10, this Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 2024. Time for this week's Community Garda information. And in studio with me today is Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh. Eunan, thank you very much, as always. Really morning, appreciate great, you calling thanks. Up. Everything is good. Right, okay. We'll get straight into it. We'll start with reported burglaries in the south of the county.
Yes, Greg. These are 2 burglaries which occurred in the area of Tubber Cavan Garden in the Ballyshannon area. So both burglaries occurred at vacant properties and they have only been reported after being discovered within the last week. One of the houses, a holiday home, was entered at some stage between the beginning of January and the end of March this year, and damage was caused to the front door to gain entry. Fortunately, nothing was stolen from the property. The other house we're referring to was broken into between the 1st of March and the end of March. Again, the front door to this property was forced open. Entry was gained. The inside of the house was ransacked. And again, fortunately, nothing was stolen. It's most likely that the two burglaries occurred during the shorter time frame of the 1st to the 30th of March. And again, may be connected. And we're appealing to anybody who may have observed any suspicious activity in the area during the month of March in the Cavan Garden area of Ballyshannon to contact the Gardaí in Ballyshannon 07198 58530. And again, if anybody can assist with any information, we can ask them to get in touch, please. And again, people can also use the confidential line to report something in confidence, 1-800-666.
Okay. So it is over the course of last month, so people may have to rack their brains on that. But as Eunice says, if you've seen anything suspicious, get in contact with your local Gardaí. Criminal damage now in Carn Donagh,
yes, Eunice. This is a criminal damage incident, Greg, which occurred on Saturday night, Sunday morning past, so Sunday the 31st, between the hours of 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. One of the windows of a business premises at the location was smashed between the times. And again, busy time of the morning, Saturday night in the Carn Donagh area. May have been people in the area, may have saw something or heard something. So we appeal to anybody who may have been in the area and who has dash cam to make the footage available to Gardaí. And again, if you consist with the information, please contact Buncrana Garda Station 074-93-20540, please.
Staying with criminal damage, this time in Manor Cunningham.
Yes, this happened Sunday night past, just the 31st of March. Into Monday morning, they were the first, so sometime between 10 p.m. Sunday night and 8 a.m. on Monday morning in the area of Abbey Park in Manor Cunningham. So damage was caused to the wing mirror of a car parked at the location. And again, anybody who observed any suspicious activity or may have information to help us in inquiries, to contact Letterkenny Garda Station 07491 67100.
Yeah, more damage to a vehicle, this time in Killigordon.
Yes, this is damage to a Jeep in the area of Mullingar, Killigordon. Again, Sunday night after 8 p.m. and 2 p.m. yesterday. So to sometime from Sunday night to the afternoon of yesterday, Monday. A Jeep was parked at the house and a rock was thrown through the front passenger window between the times. Fortunately, no entry was gained to the Jeep, but you can imagine substantial damage was caused. And again, if anybody can assist the investigation, to contact Letterkenny Garda Station 074-916-7100. Or again, the confidential line, 1-800-666-111.
Now, a car broken into and items stolen, this time in Letterkenny.
Yes, this was last Monday morning, the 25th of March, between midnight and 6 a.m. So sometime on the Sunday night, the 24th, a car was parked in the area of Oliver Plunkett Road, Letterkenny. And the car was entered and a sum of cash was stolen from it. No damage was caused to the car, so if anybody observed any suspicious activity in the area, or anybody who is dash cam who can assist with an investigation, contact the Gardaí Letterkenny again, 07491 67100.
Okay, and a car stolen this time.
Yes,
is that correct?
This is a car which was stolen from the Meadowbank Park area along Lane Letterkenny, sometime after 8:30 p.m. on Saturday past and 3:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, the 31st of March. So a silver Toyota Vitz, very distinctive number plate, Greg, partial reg, 162OY10. So an awfully registered silver Toyota Vitz was stolen from the area. And again, if anybody thinks they may observe this car being driven between those times, or to have any information in relation to the current location of the car, to contact the Gardaí at Letterkenny, 07491 67100. Again, very distinctive number plate, so we may be confident that people may have seen the car in the area around those times.
Okay, right. Now, I've said this on the show before, and I'm not saying this is the reason what we're talking about, but a lot of people now have very big cars and some very tight parking spaces out there. But anyway, speak to us a little bit more about reports of hit-and-run instances in shopping and retail car parks.
Unfortunately, this is something that's happening on a daily basis.
Wow, okay.
It's particularly in Letterkenny, in the retail parks area of the times, of the town. We're noticing a significant increase in the amount of reports being made in relation to what we would call hit-and-run road traffic collisions. So basically, that's somebody who reverses out of a parking spot or drives into his parking spot and collides with another vehicle causing
damage. Have you chose the language quite carefully there, in that it's not just, oh, I've scraped off a car and off I go, that this is seen as, albeit on the lower end of the damage scale, this is being seen as a hit and run road traffic incident?
Well, under the definition of 106 of the Road Traffic Act, without going into the finer details, that's what they're defined of.
Okay, it's just an important clarification, I think.
It is, yes, yeah. And I do accept in some circumstances you may glide with a car, tip of the car with your bumper, and not be aware of it and leave. But in many of the instances that we're dealing with, Greg, it is known that the person does drive off.
So what's the driver's obligation then?
Well, you're obliged under the Road Traffic Act to give what we call appropriate information to the other driver, which is your name and address, your insurance details, and the registration number of your car. So if the other person isn't there, which would be the norm, they're maybe in shopping or at the cinema or wherever they are, and they're not at the car, you're obliged to report it to an Garda Síochána. So that means contacting the Letterkenny Garda Station, giving the same information, your phone number, your name and address, registration of your car, your insurance details, and the number of the other car involved. Mm-hmm. You know, if it does happen, and sometimes people say it happens by mistake, but that's the case. It happens by mistake. But driving off without reporting it doesn't happen by mistake, and the penalties are up to €1,000 and or 3 months imprisonment. So yep. Significant penalties. Okay. And it's a significant amount of work, Greg, for my guys investigating these, going to car parks, following up, chasing after registered owners, getting CCTVs, doing investigations and maybe prosecuting.
But that is how they're treated.
Yes.
Okay, right. So if you see it happening, you're asked to report it, but also if you're responsible. It is a crime, as you heard there, under the road traffic legislation, and one which will be fully investigated. And you say, Eunan, it's a daily occurrence.
It is every day, unfortunately, okay. Greg, yes.
Astonishing. All right, interesting. Talk to me about Operation Enable, your colleagues in Ballyshannon.
Yes, it's been concentrated in the Ballyshannon district this year. Commenced at 8 a.m. yesterday morning and will conclude at 8 a.m. next Monday morning, the 8th of April. It's a multi-agency initiative between the Gardaí, Donegal County Council and the Disabled Drivers Association of Ireland. And again, the objective of the operation is to target the unauthorised use of disabled parking bays and disabled parking permits within the Ballyshannon district. And again, an additional focus this year will be to target other forms of illegal parking, which we see regularly, parking on drop footpaths and any other type of parking that interferes or restricts the free movement of people with disabilities or limited mobility. And again, just to make people aware, the fine for unauthorised parking in a disabled bay without a permit is €150.
Not insignificant. Recently doubled, actually. So
yes,
and there is enforcement. Okay, so keep an eye on that. You shouldn't have to sort of be careful under the threat of being stopped.
It's one of my pet hates. So yeah. It's something that I encourage my guys to be on the lookout all the time. You know.
There you go. You heard it there from the horse's mouth. Right. There's been a massive flood in the media, I think, of messaging from the Gardaí in terms of, you know, being safe on the roads in the run-up to this bank holiday, during the bank holiday and post-bank holiday as well. What's been happening in relation to enforcement in our region over the last number of days?
So we've been out and about since 7 a.m. Thursday. It concluded this morning, Tuesday, at 7 a.m. Not to say that we're not on the roads now, but this was a focused bank holiday weekend. We're out across the county, checkpoints, patrols, speed checks. A number of fixed charge penalty notices have been issued for various offences and a number of cars seized for road traffic matters. And unfortunately, there have been 6 people arrested for drink driving and 7 for drug driving. That's 13 people for driving under intoxicated over the weekend. And I'll say these are the ones that we're catching. A mm-hmm. Number of detections in relation to speeding, no tax, no tire, of all tyres, NCT, and a disqualified driver was also arrested, and altered forged documents were seized by Gardaí.
Just in relation to that, Gardaí now have at their disposal technology. They've the insurance database, for an example. Many of the vehicles, I'm not sure if there's handheld devices, but in any case, very quickly now, a number plate can be scanned and it can be determined quite quickly whether there is insurance on that, whether it's showing.
Yes, we've all been assured what people would call mobile phones. We refer to them as mobility devices, where at the side of the road, you can type in the number of a car, and rather than having the radio back to the station, or go back to the station, it'll ping on your phone if the driver is disqualified. So it can be dealt with immediately at the side of the road.
We're seeing, before we get on to the rest of the info, we're seeing more consistently now more people detected for drunk driving and drink driving. And it's beyond my remit or yours, perhaps, Eunan, to advise people, because drug taking is illegal in this country. But I think particularly with young people, they might not understand that, you know, there's a longer half-life. I don't know precisely how long it is, nor I don't think you do either. But that they might go out on a Saturday or something, or a Friday. They shouldn't be taking drugs because it's illegal. And then could be driving the Sunday, the Monday, or the Tuesday. There would be no sort of... They wouldn't present as hadn't taken drugs, but it would still come up in the system. And as I say, we can't timeline that as such, but I hope people understand that it's slightly different to alcohol. Do you know what I mean?
I do know where you're coming from, and I do see it myself. But what I will say to people is, for the vast majority of drugs, it's irrelevant that you're impaired.
Mm.
There is a limit. And if you're over the limit, whether you feel you're fit to drive or whether you look like you're fit to drive or capable of driving, that's irrelevant. If you're over the limit, you're over the limit, and the same penalties apply.
Yeah.
I get the point in relation to, we can advise people about when to drink and what to drink. I'm not going to be hearing to advise people take your drugs.
No, it's illegal because they're legal. Because that's the point. And it's difficult from your perspective, and maybe someone outside the force might be able to step in on this one. You can't take drugs. So if there's drugs in your system, there's no lower limit. You're done. Yes. But I just hope young people are being educated to understand that, A, firstly, they shouldn't be taking drugs, but B, how it behaves in their system and how it's detected subsequently.
And aside from that, the stereotypical drink driver was the fella that you opened the door and he fell out of the car and he was drunk, smell of drink, eyes bloodshot. The limits are so low now, Greg, too, in relation to drink driving.
Yeah.
You made it think that you're not impaired, you're capable of driving, but my answer to that is zero.
Well, with drink driving, it's zero. I think. Even a pint, I think.
No, I think so. I think
they're
correct,
gone. Yes, I think that's what an awful lot of people believe. It's just with the drugs. I just don't think people have it understood as much.
You know, if you're going out for a few pints, what's the point in having one pint and
driving?
Of course, yeah, 100%. It's nothing, is my advice.
Yeah, of course. So you were going to go on then, I think, to tell us a little bit more about the aim of this campaign over the weekend.
Protect vulnerable road users and reduce the fatal and serious road collisions throughout high visibility road policing and strict enforcement. Thankfully, Greg, we did not have any fatal road collisions in Donegal Division, but cannot say that, unfortunately, for the rest of the country. But I feel that the message isn't at home. 13 people arrested for driving under influence is worryingly high over a 4-day period in this county. So again, one arrest for me is too high. And I continue to appeal to all drivers, slow down, drive with care, and never ever drink under the influence of alcohol and or drugs.
Yeah, never drive under them at all with any level of it, of course. Right, okay. Now, Greg, ask the guard what happens to the drugs that are seized.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
So drugs that are seized, if it's a large quantity, they go to Forensic Science of Ireland in Dublin for analysis. Small quantities of drugs, without going into finer details, can be analysed locally. We have some guards trained in that. All drugs then are retained in the safe and in a property book in the drugs office. And so when they're examined, it either goes to court or it doesn't. So after the court case, the local superintendent authorises the destruction of the drugs, and again, our guys take them to Dublin where they are destroyed.
Okay. People with Northern registration plates on holidays in holiday towns in Donegal drink, drive and go home without being stopped by Gardaí. Do different rules apply to them? So I think what they're saying is that motorists from outside the Republic can be found to have broken the laws, but they get away with it because they return home to another jurisdiction.
Oh no, the same rules apply to drivers from any jurisdiction in this country. Whether you're from Northern Ireland or France, Spain, America, the same rules of road apply: speeding, seatbelts, drink driving and drug driving. So the same penalties, you'd be brought to court and the same penalties apply. So I mean, in relation to that, caller, if they have some concerns to any area, then please contact us.
Yeah. But they can be, say you were banned from driving in the Republic, does that endorsement go on your Northern Irish licence?
I think it does in the North, yes, okay. but not in the reverse.
Yes. Okay. I was told when I learned to drive that I'm responsible for those under 17 to use their seatbelts. So is that true or am I responsible for everyone? Now, I was under the impression the driver is responsible for everyone in the car, regardless of age,
yes,
having a seatbelt.
Yes, you are obliged as the driver to ensure all passengers in your car wear their seatbelts. But in relation to children, people under 17 years of age, It's an offence for you, the driver, to carry them in your car without them wearing a seatbelt, mm-hmm. and you can get the fine and the penalty points as well.
And also too, because I've seen some enforcement of this, not personally, in terms of what seat the child is in, whether it's appropriate to their height, yes, and that there are rules in relation to that too.
Rules into the age of the child, what type of restraint the child should be, what child should it be, a child seat,
booster seat, or whatever.
And a great document on the RSA website, and I ask people with children to have a good look at going to the website, explains it in great detail.
Yeah, because some of your colleagues are quite pernickety, so that sounds negative, but quite good and high in enforcement of that. Right, what is the protocol for driver safety training for those using scooters? Back to the scooters.
Okay,
scooters are illegal now,
a few months ago, and just very briefly, scooters and electric bikes will be dealt with under the Road Traffic and Roads Act of 2023. It was enacted, and it changes the definition of mechanically propelled vehicles, and it deals with a new type of vehicle, which we're going to be called powered personnel transporters. That is e-scooters. Okay, so the law is not in legislation yet. I'm told Part 12 of the Act, which applies, will come into force in, we're told, quarter two of 24, now at the beginning of quarter two. So sometime between the now and the end of June, it will be enacted, or it'll come into effect, and it just deals with the different types of scooters and the speed that they can get up to, and the power output between different classes of scooters. But at the minute, it's not. But at the minute, I'm told scooters are illegal.
Yep. Okay. That's where we're at. But we'll see then what the enforcement plan is when that's enacted in this quarter. Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh, as always, thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Really appreciate
you
calling
in. Enjoy the rest of the week. Short week for you.
It is always for me. People would say it's always a short week, but it's not. But thanks very much, Eunan. Right. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 2024. We'll have that posted on our social media and on Garda Síochána social media a little later on if you want to catch up on any of those items or double check some details if you might have some information. It's back for you live in the show after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. And you're very welcome back to the programme. Sorry, just doing some producing with Donna Marie on the fly there. I was out of the studio, but it was in the safe hands of Sean Quinn. Hi, Sean.
Absolutely not in the safe hands, and now we're starting to panic there.
Really? Panic? Just relax, man.
Which bottom
just
of the head will I go?
None,
that one or that
just
one?
Just chill, man. Right, okay. Do you know, time's going so quick. It feels like this was yesterday, but it's not at all. We are launching the hugely successful, they were in 2023, Highland Radio Customer Services Award. They are back, and they're back in association with McElhinney's department store. Right, so we were wondering, was it a one-trick pony? But certainly not. It's back for year two, Sean, and why not?
Yeah, back for year two. And delighted, Greg, because I think the feel at the time is everybody in the room enjoyed it, win or lose. It was a great night, it was well celebrated, and I think we got it right. So, I kind of know we got it right in the sense that when I approached McElhinney's about sponsorship, they were absolutely delighted to come on board. There was no hard sell. They were just so impressed with the actual evening and how it went. So what we wanted to do is look and see, can we get bigger and better? And I think today we're launching something that will be bigger and better.
Yeah, and this is really the customer service awards. It does what it says in the tin, but this is actually really customers, us, out and about spending our hard-earned cash on a day-to-day basis, thanking, appreciating the people that serve us, that do amazing work in doing so. So these are the people's awards. This is the public endorsing their local businesses and right across a range of categories. But that public input to this, and I think we had, you know, well over 10,000 votes last year, that public input into this is critical. It's important because we are really identifying the creme de la creme of businesses.
Of business, yeah, absolutely. And it was actually over 16,000 nominations that we got. And you're right what you're saying, Greg, because it's recognising, it's your customers recognising what you do for them. And I think that's important too, because then you know that you're doing things right. And if you're not, then it's you look at your business and say, how do we make things better? Mm-hmm. And I know that I was contacted by a few businesses last year to say, you know, we didn't get nominated. And I was quite clear and I said that you didn't get involved. go and ask if your customers are happy with you, they will actually nominate you. And that's where the call out this year would be, if you didn't go and get involved last year, this is the year to do it.
And what we have too this year, because it's the second year, we have an opportunity for businesses to be multi-award winners. Okay, so this is not one bite of the cherry here. You could have a business, be it in retail, community and professional services, house and home, motorhome, lifestyle, health and beauty, that you can be a multi-award winner in the Highland Radio Customer Services Award, which would be very prestigious in and of itself. But that also does not preclude, as you've just been saying, people to get involved in it. Sometimes we don't. And I think it's an Irish guilt thing that sometimes we're not very good at blowing our own trumpets. But if I have a business in any of these categories, I'm saying, if you're happy with our service, please vote for me.
Absolutely.
And what happens is we get a great spread of businesses from right across the region. And then we have some expert independent judges that go through everything and eventually announce our winners. So these are incredibly prestigious. And it's been fantastic to see businesses. In fact, I was in an award-winning business yesterday afternoon in the Old Glen Bar. Had a lovely from the beer box, had a pulled rib sandwich. What was I talking about? My point is though,
I wasn't listening to you.
My point is that it is a lovely moniker to have, that you are a customer services awards winner, because these are the public. It's the public
absolutely
that's choosing.
And do you know, Greg, you're right in saying that also, because I've been in numerous businesses, the winners from last year, and every single one of them has the trophy displayed for all to see. So they're proud of it. And, you know, how do you get involved with this is you go social media wise, and we have, you can download a form from our website, and it gives you the opportunity to vote in each different section. Or you can download it and actually print it and put it into your shop. So if customers are coming in, ask them and just say, are you happy with what we did today for
you? So these are templates, effectively, absolutely, that we've available for you to put up in your business saying, please vote for me in the Highland Radio, blah, blah, blah. So the categories, as I say, include retail, community and professional services, house and home, motor, lifestyle, health and beauty. Give us an example then of some of the awards we're talking about within those categories. Hair salon of the year.
Yeah, so you have hair salon of the year, you have beauty salon of the year, you have the barbers, that was actually won last year by Blades, the hairstylist awards, beauty therapist of the year. We've added bridal hair and makeup as well this year to it, nail salon.
Car dealer of the year is in there.
Yeah, there's car dealer of the year, so you've got actually salesperson of the year in that one as well, service department of the year, and transport and travel. Auto parts, so the auto shops as well are included, and tyre services.
Yeah.
So
I need a tyre, by the way.
Huh?
I need a tyre. By the way, just saying, you've reminded me, I need a tyre. Car valet of the year, which, as I say, the categories are areas that are incredibly vibrant. There's lots of people at them, but ordinarily, how would they get recognised? Takeaway. Do you know what I mean? Most of us eat in takeaways above restaurants. That's not in any way to bring restaurants down. But most of us, if we're having a treat, it's a takeaway, right? But I think sometimes it's seen as, in a different category. But it's not. It's people making food for you. And let's recognise our favourite takeaway. As I'm going through these lists, I can think of the businesses that I would nominate.
Yeah.
And also then the community charity organisation sector, that's under community and professional services.
But the great thing about that, Greg, right, is that it's every town's involved with that. It's not about the main street in Letterkenny or Carindonagh. Every single town is involved here because we've all got takeaways. We've all got community centres.
And we had a situation last year whereby everyone was dressed up to the nines. It was a brilliant night. But you could have, effectively, a beautician. I'll stick with the bees. A beautician collect award and then a butcher collect an award.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think it was in Ruffo, the award for the
It was
butchery.
Indeed, yeah.
The butchery went to Ruffo.
Yeah.
But that's the type of environment it is. We're all of the one community. It brings people from all different sort of backgrounds, all into wedding dressmakers and welders, two W's, there you go. Do you know what I mean? All under
one
roof.
Now you're on a flow now.
I'm trying to think on my feet here. Flowers? No, I won't bother with that one. How do you go about nominating in the first instance? What we'll do is we'll talk about the nominating, if I fancy nominating a business, and then we'll recap the businesses saying, listen, give us a vote. That's an important part. So it's live now?
It's live now on highlandradio.com. just click on the link. We've made it as simple as possible. And do include a little comment, because we do look at those and they are part of the process. So it'll take you an extra minute maybe just to tell us why you're nominating this business.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just hit the submit button and it comes straight into us. So that'll be open from now and it closes on the 23rd of April.
Yep.
So you've a window of about 3 weeks to either look for the votes, or to, if you're a consumer who wants to vote straight away, you can go on there right now and click on the button for the customer service awards.
Couldn't be any simpler. For those of you watching it, I'm showing you the website now. There are the categories and the subcategories there as well. There's motor, there's lifestyle, community services. You nominate, you click in there and away you go. So no excuses. It's made as simple as is possible. And again, just to reiterate, businesses, there's a category in there for you if you're in the customer services sector. There's going to be something there for you. Please get involved, get the posters up, get onto your social media, ask your customers to say, listen, thanks. They can give you something back in return for all the great things that you do for them. Right, okay. Now, will you get someone to take the birthday bash off the website?
Yeah, we might do that, yeah.
No, good stuff.
Right. We're listing the names of the winners up there, so yeah, we'll take that off.
I know you're all very busy. Okay, very exciting. So, Sean, website, highlandradio.com.
Yep.
Click in, bish, yep. Bash, bosh. The resources for the businesses to print off and put up in their businesses,
That will be on the website within the hour.
Brilliant.
So they can actually download the PDF and they can print it, or they can use it on their social media.
What can we say about the actual event? You've got the date here as well, right?
No,
that's
secret.
All in.
Yeah. No, no secret. It's the 9th of June. It's in the Mount Errigal Hotel. So we're returning there.
The Mount Errigal Hotel, fantastic. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Then we had another award ceremony in Bala Buffet. Top notch. Absolutely brilliant again. Back over to you, Mount Errigal Hotel. Do you know what I mean?
I know, because when you do the first one, you think the second one, the hospitality, I thought, you know, we've got to get this one right. And we did, and so did Jackson's. But I've every confidence that the Mount Errigal will deliver. But there's no, and it's going to slightly more. It will be 540.
It's a great night out.
Is the max in the room? Yeah. So we will sell out, and it will sell out pretty quickly.
Right. Well, let's get the nominations in first. It's live for you right now on our website. You can go in there and nominate. If anyone has a question, what category am I in? They can give us a buzz and one of your team will sort that out, won't you?
Yeah,
you'll fall into one of the categories, but just in case there's any uncertainty, give us a buzz and we'll sort you out there. Right, okay, before I let you go, what's the story with, I was out of the loop, I kind of disengaged.
Money.
With the makeover, right? It's a €10,000 makeover, just while I have you, might as well get it out the rate, save you coming in tomorrow again. €10,000 home makeover. Plus €5,000 in cash. So have we given away €2,500
yet?
Yes, we did. When did that happen on Thursday?
Last Thursday we gave it away.
Wow, okay.
Donald gave away £2,500.
Nice.
It went down to Glenty's. So we did. So we're going to do the exact same this Friday. So if you've bought a ticket, you're automatically included in this Friday's draw and the big draw. But if you haven't bought a ticket yet, today or tomorrow is the time to do it, because we will close off the lines probably around 11 o'clock on Friday.
So we've given away €2,500. There's another €2,500 to give away. It's in pure cash, straight into your pocket. Friday, the 5th of April, that's during this show. And then the following Friday, is it on this programme again, is it? Or is that on...
JB. Yeah.
And on John Bresson's show then, the following Friday on which this competition was launched, someone's going to win a €10,000 home makeover in association with Foyne Company, plus €5,000 in cash. Last time you were in, Sean, I was like, I could do my whole house.
I know.
And you were on about a room. I was thinking, what kind of a mansion do you live in?
But you see, the thing about it is you can actually do a room by room. You don't have to do everything at the one time.
If I got €10,000, it would do a lot of the house.
It would definitely do.
For me, anyway.
Like, it would do two nice sitting rooms, it would do.
Look at this book. I don't know.
Two big sitting rooms.
I'm going to have to call around to your house. It must be palatial.
But you know what's nice about this, Greg, is that Foy's will actually sit down and help you design the room.
Yeah.
And we're very lucky to have them on that basis, because they've got experts within the stores in Letterkenny and Bala Buffet who'll sit down and they'll even come to the house to look and see, right, okay, well, we think this will be nice here. And they'll help you through that process, even picking colours for the rooms, carpets for the rooms, whatever it is that you need within that room, they have it and they'll supply it, which is brilliant.
Great stuff. Listen, Sean, always a pleasure. Thanks for calling in. Get onto the website now. Support your local business. They do amazing stuff for us. You know, they're the ones that employ our children. They're the ones that sponsor the local raffles. They're the ones that have the prizes available. Do you know what I mean? Not all, you know, but the majority of them. They are of us. They are of the community. And let's give them a big thank you by nominating them in the Highland Radio Customer Services Award 2024. If you're a business out there, stick the sign up. Get on your social media. Say we'd love your support because it's a great night out and it's a great honour. We're going to have, hopefully, new award winners, but I'd love to see someone say that they were able or a multi-award winner.
Yeah,
but it's
absolutely
really competitive, but why not? Don't. So if you won last year, I'd be looking to get another one on the shelf. Do you know, that's a balance out the fireplace, Sean's massive marble fireplace in one of his front
in my third room there.
Bet you've got a sitting room and a front room, don't you? You're that type.
I've got a playroom.
No. Right, okay. What's in there? Dartboard?
Everything that shouldn't be anywhere in the house.
Huh? Pool table?
There's dartboard, yeah. That's the very popular.
Do you have a mini bar?
Pardon?
Do you have a mini bar?
No. Not allowed that.
€10,000.
That's what I get. A mini bar in the house and outside the house.
All right, okay. Drink responsibly, folks. Be full of zeros. All right, that's it. We'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show after this break. But in the meantime, get onto the website, highlandradio.com. Thank you so much for all of your contacts over the course of this morning. Very much appreciated. Nurses in Australia work less than a 12-hour day. Some can work 9 to 5. They've around 5 patients to deal with. In Ireland, you've around 15. There's less pressure in Australia. The conditions all around are better. Morning. I've sat many's a long day in the ED with my late father. I've observed many, many people who I felt didn't need to be there. If medical card patients, not the elderly, were charged a small fee, A&E would not be as busy. Unfortunately, it's a day out for some. Example, I went with my dad during the last big rugby match. Ireland played in the World Cup last year and it was empty. I said, gosh, it's quiet. And the nurse replied, yeah, just wait till you see it when the match is over. Now, the one thing I'll say about that is the concern, the pressure in any of the hospitals around the country are not just people sitting there with a broken fingernail. The pressure comes from people who are deemed ill enough to be admitted to the hospital. So when you see trolley watch figures that are published daily, those aren't just people that have turned up for the day out, which I don't think anyone would see as a day out of crack. They are deemed ill enough to be admitted to the hospital. And speaking to people, because this has come up before, so I wanted to ask people who were down there, and very few people, I'm told, of those that are there, don't need to be there. Very few. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's certainly not the cause of what we're seeing. Hi, Greg. J.K. Rowling referred to the transgender woman as biological men. I think you left out the word biological. No, I didn't. In her tweet, she just said they're all men. She never mentioned the word biological. Maybe she has in the past, but certainly not in the tweet that's being quoted by the papers. In fact, I can actually read the last line of it for you if you wish. Where is it? It's here somewhere. Anyway, it'll take me a while to dig it out. But anyway, be that as it may, I'll read the last tweet here if I can get to it. April Fools, only kidding. Obviously, the people mentioned in the above tweets aren't women at all, but men, every last one of them. So there was no reference to the word biological there. There's no such thing as being a transgender woman. It's a man identifying as a woman, and all the laws they try to bring in will never change that fact. That's the language that they choose to use. They choose to define themselves as a transgender woman. Now, whether you disagree with that or not, it doesn't take away the fact that that's what a transgender woman believes. Now, you believe it's a man identifying as a woman. Not too far away in reality. It's just that word transgender that seems to be the difference there. Greg, something very badly wrong. Our own people, houses falling apart. The government spending money like this on others to bring them here and our own leaving the country. Another, there should be no football on Easter Sunday or Saturday. The teams don't get the amount of supporters they should. What do you think about that? I thought Croke Park yesterday was quite well attended. Yesterday was Monday, Sunday. Armagh always bring the crowd. They've got a great travelling support. Maybe it's because of the travel options that they have that we wouldn't here coming from the northwest. And Dublin always pull the crowd as well. I thought it was really, really interesting. Another piece of interesting news, which is just emerging but doesn't surprise me. Enterprise Minister Simon Coveney has announced he's stepping down from Cabinet. He says he won't be making himself available to serve as a minister when the dole resumes next week. In a post on X, Simon Coveney said he spoke to Fine Gael leader Simon Harris last night to inform him of his decision. Mr. Coveney said he will continue to work as a proud TD for Cork South Central and will, of course, actively support the government in the dole. It's very possible, maybe, that Simon Coveney doesn't get on with Simon Harris, I don't know. But also that maybe he was going to be moved from his portfolio because there's bound to be a little bit of a reshuffle. It's in a bit of a mess, isn't it? You start wondering, maybe, do we need an election to sort this all out?